Over here, we just use like
normal cheddar cheese, yeah.
any cheese.
And you just have a big block of cheese?
Yeah, and with a bun in between it.
No, you put the cheese in between the bun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheese in between the bun.
Okay. So it's like a toasted cheese sandwich.
That's it. You can melt it as well.
Basically.
But what's the tinned cheese like?
Say again?
What's tinned cheese like?
Yeah, it's just like processed cheese, isn't it? You know with the little cheese in the plastic sheets that used to get when you were kids?
I don't mean like Dairy Lee?
It's not like that.
It's not as worse as that.
It's not.
It's not worse as that.
It's like a stereotype of cheese. It's oh, if you processed. Imagine what cheese tastes like, it's that.
Yeah.
Like cheese in a like a Big Mac cheese.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You know, dirty burger cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit like that. Yeah, I would say that.
Well, if like you melted it, orange
it's more thicker.
It's thicker,
yeah,
obviously.
Orange, yeah.
If you, yeah, it's a bright orange.
I love it.
Oh,
yeah.
God. So there's that in, in a roll, but a big chunk of it.
Thicker. Yeah, it's really thick.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. Oh, man, alive.
It's basically like a loaf. It's a loaf. And you kind of
so how big are we
bread.
Talking? What size are we talking?
Can we get a picture of the book?
You can basically
have
just...
Have a picture of it?
Yeah, we've got the recipe.
Wow.
Because we live by like a bakery called Cornfields, and then this should be queues like every year, and we probably used to think, why? Well, I think just show people how to make it, because our grandma knew how to make it.
Yeah.
So we kind of just got tips off her, and then we just done a video.
Yeah.
And everyone started just making it now instead of queuing up and wasting money.
Yeah, sure.
And just making it myself.
I'm still trying to look for it.
So if you're looking, so like in a way, if you're looking for Caribbean food, good Caribbean food in the UK, the best way to get it is to make it yourself.
100%.
I would say so, yeah.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, so there's not like places you would go there, they do that's good.
There are places, yeah, definitely.
But do you feel like, I don't even want to say the names of like, but kind of bigger kind of Caribbean chain places that I've been to and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But would you be like, you're kind of getting a kind of...
It's Caribbean inspired, isn't it? They're not trying to be authentic.
Right.
That's the thing. So, you know, the other restaurants out there, the chains and stuff like that, they're not going to get that authenticity that you'll get, at your grandma's house or your mum's.
So you're still like, if you want to have good Caribbean food, you've just got to make it yourself. You've got to buy your book.
Got to buy our book. Original flavour Caribbean food from home.
It's like unmelted nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, that is what it looks like. Yeah.
That's it. That's actually.
So it's basically like a spice. It's called Easter spiced bun. If you go into like Tesco's, they sell it in Tesco's.
Yeah, they do.
They're right.
You sell it in Tesco's. The spiced bun, and it's like a loaf of bread, and it's in that sort of form anyway. And you slice it in however thick you want.
Like this almost looks like a sort of like fruitcake bread, right? It's like a kind of
fruit bun kind of view.
Yeah, with cheese.
Yeah.
I bet that's all right, actually.
Really
I bet
good.
That's nice.
It is
really
nice,
good.
Mate. It is nice.
I'm quite intrigued by tin cheese as well.
Yeah.
That actually kind of weirdly appeals. It's one of those things where you've got such good photography in this book, you've got a tin of cheese that looks delicious.
That's the thing. We've got amazing... What we wanted the real like Jamaica food.
We wanted
the real Caribbean. We didn't want like sandy beaches and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
We literally went straight to like Kingston. We went to everywhere. Jamaica's really big,
gully.
Small, but it's really big.
Yeah.
But we literally went from... like Mulbey to Clarendon, like to Maypen, to Kingston, to all these St. Anne's, so much different Caribbean places, but we went to the real nitty gritty of Jamaica.
And did they pay for all that?
The
publisher.
Was
it great?
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
Awesome. Was it like...
It was amazing.
I mean, you're working as well.
Yeah, it's doing what you love, you know.
You got a bit of a holiday out of it.
You know what? We didn't.
Literally,
no.
The work was like.
I think out of the month, probably 2 days we went by the pool.
Sure. But we just wanted the realness. Like we just wanted to be around our people, the people, you know what I mean, that made Jamaican and Caribbean culture so great.
And you got to meet those people.
Yeah, we got a lot of family there as well.
That's the best bit, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Went to our grandma's house as well, where she lived.
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing experience.
Seeing
seeing her first son. Our uncle, and seeing those family members I've never met before, which was great.
And in our back garden, literally, you just pick lot of mangoes on the tree, like cocoa, what they use to make that chocolate, like some breadfruit, plantain, banana,
avocado. Literally, we picked a massive avocado for the tree.
Yeah,
I feel like we're getting robbed from the supermarkets. Like, avocados over here, they're so small.
How big was it?
Oh, man.
Literally, about that big.
Yeah.
He's making the size of like a medium Easter egg.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we're doing radio. You got to do a little bit of But like, so you met loads of family members that otherwise you wouldn't have met.
Say again. Oh yeah, of course. In Jamaica, literally, they don't really come over to England. They're just there, so we wouldn't have met them if we didn't.
But that's incredible, right?
Yeah, I know.
So you know, you did. I just think that it's just a really incredible thing. One of the things is like, so I was so poor before I started. So I do stand up. Yeah. And I was so poor before I started doing stand up.
Yeah.
And then it was really like a last ditch thing, which is like, I've got nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
I started doing it and I thought, I'll give myself 5 years. I started making a bit of money in like 3 years.
Yeah.
And then off of that, I started traveling and having to go around the country. And then I've been around like the world. I haven't been everywhere, but I've been to places. I've been to places that I'd never have been just through work.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and the fact is, you know, you used your degrees and you haven't gone a direct route with them. And you're kind of doing something that's creative and it's off your own bat, but you're kind of like using the skills that you've learned. And then through that, you're traveling around the planet, and you're meeting family members that you wouldn't have known. I just think that's incredible. I think that's a really beautiful side effect of what you've managed to create.
And that's what we've got in the book as well. It's not just a cook, but obviously it's got amazing recipes, recipes that you can just cook every day, but it's a story, do you know what I mean? It's a story about how our great-grandparents who, like, had 10 kids, and, like, from that, we're here producing a book in the UK about them.
Yeah,
it's insane. So when we went there, we saw like their gravesides and like their houses and the people cooking by the street sides and the jerk, the real jerk as well. How to make the real jerk on the pimento wood. Different foods as well.
So you must have had an idea about what your book was going to be. You know, you would have pitched a book and they would have said, hey, we want to make a book with you. And
so we had a self-published book. Like
The self-published book is the same book or is it completely different?
It's got about 25 recipes, which are the same.
Right.
But there's 75 new ones.
So you did a self-published book and then, Bloomsbury? Well. Bloomsbury could say, well, do you want to do an expanded book where we'll send you to Jamaica? And you said, all right.
Why not?
But then in doing that book, you would have had an idea of what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then it would have adapted as you went out there.
And it changed as well.
Yeah,
changed
of course.
It got more into the emotional side and the history of like black history and like Jamaica and how we've intertwined as British born boys and with that Jamaican heritage and Caribbean heritage. It's such a big thing and it's so intertwined into British culture anyway, and which is kind of like a celebration book as well.
Yeah.
So and history, there's so much, man, there's so much. But with the self-published book, bro, had an amazing
what
journey.
You know and what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And then had you been to Jamaica a lot before?
This is my second time being to Jamaica.
This is actually my first time.
Really?
Yeah. This is my first time, so but it felt like I've always been there for years
because
I had a connection with the food and the culture. It's like I never left. The people are just amazing there. Like everyone just knows about food there.
Yeah.
You could have a big conversation.
Yeah,
like meet people in the street. We showed them our old book before when we first went out there. So it was just really amazing. Like they knew about everything. Even the kids went to a school out there as well.
Yeah,
which was amazing.
And your self-published book. How far into it were you doing it before you did the self-published book? Was that an idea straight away?
It was out. It was out. It went to number one the Caribbean cookbooks on Amazon. Man,
it was about a year, isn't it? It was about for about a year. We did a Kickstarter campaign. And
crowdfunding.
So that was all from the Facebook stuff as well.
So our followers helped us raise like £14,000.
That's
to
great.
Produce a book, our first one, which was amazing. Got like a big, massive following online.
I think of this stuff all the time. I always think of these people that sort of start doing stuff online, and now it almost seems that there's a sort of cynical way of looking at it to be, not necessarily like in a bad way, just people going, oh, if I do this, I can build this thing and have it.
Yeah,
but it's sort of amazing that a lot of it's just accidental.
Yeah,
it's accidental, but you've obviously had like
you obviously had
a vision, right?
Yeah,
even if
vision,
you didn't 100%. Have, you didn't expect anything, but you certainly had a vision of where you'd want to go with it, right?
Totally had a
vision. But it's also a little bit about like having an idea and people responding to it and then going, oh, cool, people like this. Let's see how far we can push it.
Yeah.
And then that's where the self-publishing comes from.
Exactly.
And then off of that, it's just like, hang on a minute, there's even more people interested. Mm. So then let's really see how far we can push it.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication and consistency as well.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, you know, if you're passionate about something, just go for it.
Yeah,
just go
for it,
love doing something, just do
and
it.
And I say that about Bloomsbury, but Bloomsbury must only have got involved because they're also going, we can make money on this.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not like anyone's doing you a favour.
Of of course.
Like obviously you're still for us as well, to give us more exposure mainstream wise.
Yes, we've got
a lot of exposure mainstream wise.
And it's a huge publisher, right? Yeah. Bloomsbury.
Yeah, they're really good.
We got into the papers, like.
We were on ITV News the other day, 6 o'clock news as well. So.
Waitrose. Like, we were like in Westfield, like BBC before. Like, naturally, it was more organic. They reached out to us, which is cool. But, like, emails started to go in, and it was just like, oh, okay. Bit long.
And now, guys,
but now it's just
you're on FUBAR Radio.
I know, man.
Yeah, we made it, man. Trust me.
We made it. Trust.
Yeah, man. Big up you guys, man.
This is part of the 5-year plan, right? Yeah, FUBAR Radio is at top.
Therefore, man.
you're being nice.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite, Sean?
Craig.
Yeah. Don't worry.
What's your favourite dish in the book?
In the book, I'd say lobster. There's a sweet chili lobster. You think like it's hard to make, but it's not. It's so easy to make in about 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and it's so nice. I'm a massive seafood fan.
Yeah.
And or like curry prawns.
Sweet chili, is that a big thing in Jamaican food then?
Not really.
I was going to say, because I don't know what I think, where I think, yeah.
No. We just like it. I think we just like sweet exactly. chili. We always
is this just food you like in here?
Lobster.
Look at how happy
you are. Yeah, happy, mate. That was in Jamaica, actually. That was at my aunt's house in Kingston.
Yeah. What's your favourite thing in the book?
Oh, so many, man. Depends. Depends. Is it breakfast, mood? Lunch, or dinner?
Breakfast.
Ackee and saltfish with fried dumplings, mate.
Really?
So good, yeah, man. Ackee and saltfish fried dumplings. It's the Jamaican national dish. Should be at the front.
So good, man.
I'm trying to find this lobster.
Oh, yeah, right. It should be like by the seafood bit.
Right.
Cheat and go index.
Yeah, it looks incredible, though.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. Seafood is massive in Jamaica. It is. Massive. They go out. We saw some guys going out at like 4 a.m. in the morning catching fish. And just cook it fresh.
Did you get up with them and did you do any fishing?
No, unfortunately not. We missed them every time. Like, we couldn't wake up.
Too early. Too early.
We missed them every time by 5 hours. It was incredible.
I'm beginning to think it was a holiday. Yeah. we didn't get up.
We were up at 7 o'clock though every morning.
That's the thing. You do like travelling around and you do filming and whatever, and people go, "Oh, I bet that's nice." There you go.
Yeah,
that's garlic butter lobster with sweet chili. Oh my god, that looks incredible.
Yeah, so good.
People say, "Oh, I bet you had a nice time. You're doing all you can do is do all that eating." And you go, actually.
I'm putting on a few pounds, mate.
It's a fucking nightmare. Yeah. Like, but when we did the thing, it was like, I always say this, but like when we did this, everyone goes, "Oh, that's nice, getting paid to eat." And it's just like, I'm literally getting paid to eat. Yeah. So you're eating at like 9:30 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the afternoon, 5:30 in the afternoon, and you're never not full, and you're just uncomfortable the whole time. It's just like, you're eating about what you would do in a week, in a day, and it's just like, it's absolutely...
Yeah. Yeah, all the recipe testing, mate. Just
pepper prawns. But don't you find like I always think that when I end up cooking like Christmas dinner or something like that. Well, whenever I cook, you spend all this time in the kitchen and you're tasting bits here and there, and then by the time you sit down, you're not hungry.
Yeah, all the time.
And everyone looks at you like, "What's wrong with the food?"
Yeah. All the time. And my mum used to do that every Christmas. My mum used to do that every Christmas. She would make literally for about 12, 13 people by herself.
Yeah.
And then it'll get to dinner time now. She just sits by the TV and just watches TV or just chills.
Because she's been picking out food all day, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. Or just the small, isn't it?
You've got a recipe for jerk. Is it jerk chicken turkey?
Jerk turkey.
So it's turkey.
Jerk turkey, yeah.
Is that what you're having for Christmas dinner?
We will be having that,
We're also doing a supper club. We're having a supper club of like jerk turkey and red label lamb.
Red label lamb.
And mac and
you guys ever tried a red label wine before?
No.
No, what is this?
It's like a tonic wine.
Yeah, it's a Jamaican tonic wine.
Sweet.
What's it like? Sweet. What's
it's
the
like,
red label.
Red label.
What is in
tonic?
It's tonic wine. What's that? Obviously red wine, but it's a bit more
sweeter.
Sweeter. It's not bitter.
Yeah.
And is it to have with savoury food or with like kind of sweet food?
You normally have it as a drink.
Yeah, you normally have a drink or a mixer.
Yeah.
It's good with food.
Yeah.
And when you say with a mixer, exactly, it's really strong.
It's not really strong. It's about 13%.
Okay, so it's like wine, right? It's just like normal.
Yeah, it's
standard
like
wine.
But it's sweeter, yeah.
It's like how you put red wine in, like, I don't know, like bolognese or something.
Yeah. Okay. It's all right. Yeah. So is it cooking wine as well then?
No.
Just drinks. Okay.
Yeah, we just remixed it.
Okay.
Yeah, I made a red label wine. So basically, you use the red label wine to make a nice gravy. like a sweet, thick, spicy gravy on the lamb.
Yeah.
So we'll be serving that at a supper club.
Mac and cheese as Christmas. Well, man.
Mac and cheese?
Yeah, mac and cheese.
Talk us through your supper club.
So we started our supper club, first one was in October.
What is a supper club?
It's a intimate setting where people can come and dine with us.
And who's? Like,
so our followers, so we'll sell tickets.
And so you get like a small group of strangers that all turn up and they eat in sort of like a kitchen.
Yeah, an open plan kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, most of our followers.
And you're doing that on Christmas Day?
No, 21st of December.
21st.
But the good thing about it, it's been so successful. Like, people come with maybe just their friend or maybe three people or even just by themselves.
Yeah.
And they, we've had amazing reviews about people just meeting new people and just having a great time, exchanging numbers, just chatting. There's free unlimited rum punch as well.
And you're
and
in
so
the kitchen.
So that kind of fuels it.
So you're cooking in front of them in an open plan kitchen. And you're chatting to them as well and you're talking them through.
We do a masterclass before the three-course meal.
Yeah.
Showing you how to make the dish that you're eating.
Yeah.
And then we give you guys the
three-course meal. And do they get involved and do it as well?
Yeah, we get them up and get them involved. You know, get them seasoning them, cooking.
So it's like a show as well. You're doing like a show of cooking for them.
Yeah, man.
Because a lot of people love watching our videos, but they want to taste our food. So it only makes sense that we've done the supper club so they can meet us and taste our food as well.
How do you feel if people are talking to you while you're cooking? Are you quite good about it? You're like, leave me alone.
It's right.
Leave
me alone. Used to. Yeah. Do it with eyes closed.
And we're so used to like, cooking in our nan's like small kitchen. We've literally cooked for about 250 people in that small kitchen. So when you're going to people cooking in front of them, it's a minor.
We won't say where though.
But it's good, man.
Yeah.
And there's still tickets left for that, or is that sold
out? Just came out about half an hour ago.
Oh wow! So how where can people get tickets for that if they want to go to Eventbrite? 21st Eventbrite. Mm. Okay.
Just type in original flavor supper club.
Yep.
There can't be many seats for that. Right?
There's like 42.
So you need to get in quick.
Very quick.
And is it all one meal, or is it you do like an early?
Three-course meal.
Yeah, but do you do like an early sitting and then a late sitting?
No.
Or is it 42 people all in one go?
All in one go.
Right,
all in one go.
So is that a whole night then?
I think I'm going to start running a supper club.
Seven to ten.
Yeah, man. You should come along to us, man.
The vibe is so good. And it's unlimited rum punch.
It's incredible.
Unlimited rum punch. It's just like
unlimited rum punch.
Unlimited.
Hello.
All night. Really sets the tone as well and the vibe as well. Everyone's in a Jeremy.
Yeah. Punchy.
Very merry as well.
Rum cake as well to end the night and dessert.
Yeah, right. Oh, wow.
So how many hours is it? What time does it start?
7 o'clock.
Starts at 7 till 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's enough time for get some drinks down.
And so you've done your prep.
Oh yeah.
So they ring on the door at 7.
Yeah.
And you've already prepped everything.
Yeah, yeah.
We're there from 11-12.
Yeah.
Prepping. Yeah. Obviously, season the meat overnight. You know.
Yeah. So whenever it was my birthday, I had a really nice flat with like an open plan sort of like downstairsy bit with like a kitchen and stuff. And I'd always invite people, like 20-30 people over, and I would cook for them.
Cool.
And then what would happen was. Every time, Nat would always be the first person to get there. And I'd say, everyone get there about 12. Nat would be the first person to get there. And I'd go, Nat, if anyone rings on the door, I'll let them in. And then I'd go to Sainsbury's. And then like 2 hours later, I'd get back and people were like, do you need any help unpacking? And I'd be there with like bags and bags of shopping. And we'd all eat about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh,
and everyone would
God.
Be standing around the day. But like, always delicious.
It was great when it turned up. You're ready. For it when it turned up,
that's good.
Everyone's hammered and they're all talking about it. But like, I'm so like bad at that sort of stuff. But just imagine me running a supper club. It starts at 7, finishes at 10.
Yeah.
People are arriving at 7, and I'm like, oh fuck!
Oh my God.
The first person arrives has to stay. You've got to stay here. I'm going to the shop.
If the doorbell goes, it'll be a guest, right? Let him in, give him a drink.
What did you cook?
What did I cook?
You just like loads of stuff.
I used to, I'd make sure there was like three salads and then a couple of meat. So I would do kind of, I'd do like, I think one time I did like three roast chickens. There were beer cooked chickens that had like lots of paprika and cayenne all over them. And I'd pour lager and chicken stock all over them.
Nice.
And I'd roast them. And then there'd be like paella. And then there would also be... one year I did... It was shredded ginger beer cooked gammon.
Ooh.
So you kind of like you slow roast the gammon,
yeah,
wow. And sort of like onions and garlic and again like cayenne pepper and paprika, and then you pour like ginger beer all over it, and nice. Then you'd roast it down, and then eventually you'd sort of like shred it, and it would be really sort of like juicy because there'd be too much. Oh, it's incredible! Yeah.
Nice. We've got a chef in the house.
Yeah, that's one of the nicest things
I've
ever.
I'd say one year.
Can we hire you, mate? For yourself?
Oh, mate, I would love to be your sous chef.
Mate, amazing. Please. We need one.
One year you did corn on the cobs. It was in like a bacon sauce kind of thing. Oh, what was that? That was nice.
Yeah, I did.
Very creative, mate.
I can't remember. I don't think it was a bacon sauce.
It tasted bacony, right? And it wasn't that sauce. It was like a sort of, not a sauce, but like
You get a corn on the cob and you cut it into four.
Yeah.
And then you like lay them all out on a dish, and then you top it up with chicken stock, and beer.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. And then you put just like fuckloads of cayenne pepper, turmeric, paprika. And you put all of that all over it. And then I think I had some, like, Old Bay spice. And you just put loads of, you know, seasoning on it. And then you just roast it for fucking ages. And then it all reduces down.
You know what I like? Like, you've got your seasonings on point.
Yeah,
like,
just.
I know you like to season the thing.
It's just like, you don't want anything boring. So everything's got to be seasoned. I like that. But, yeah, and then you just put enough stuff out. And people go, oh, look at all of the stuff. And then you go, yeah. And then you have to eat it now.
Yeah.
But that's why you leave them waiting 10 hours, because they really do eat it.
Yeah.
But by that point, everyone's just like, are you going to eat anything, Nick? And I'm just like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, what have you done to the food? Why aren't you eating it? So talk us about this jerk turkey.
Yeah, basically, it's a marination. The jerk is a marination of different spices. That's what jerk is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a spicy flavour. It's a process of how you make it. So it's a combination of pimento, spring onions, thyme, browning, sugar, all blended in a blender and marinated into the meat. And just slow cooked in the oven for about 3 hours. Yeah. We usually butter it up as well.
Yeah.
With oil.
Just extra juice.
Yeah, so it's not dry.
What about, so you basically, you're doing the same process as chicken. A chicken, but with a turkey.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what about the sides?
So what sides for
a Christmas dinner?
For a Christmas dinner.
To make it like a Jamaican Christmas dinner.
Yeah. Oh,
so what's your spin on kind of like a roast dinner? Oh, like a roast Christmas dinner.
To be honest, we have like the Brussels as well. We have like the parsnips as well. All of that sort of stuff.
But also you doing have anything rice, to them, or are you just leaving them as they are?
It's just leaving it as they are, really. Mm-hmm. We sometimes put a bit of bacon in Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
Seasoning on it as well. We season them.
What you should do is you should cook them in chicken stock and beer and put paprika and cayenne pepper.
I might try that, actually.
Just cook everything in beer and chicken stock. just put paprika and cayenne pepper on everything.
We'll also cook a Christmas ham as well, with like pineapple and pine with some cherries on the ham.
Classic.
And the glaze as well.
Delicious.
The glaze on it as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also have sorrel. I don't know if you guys tried sorrel. You ever tried sorrel punch?
No, sorrel.
It's a bit like hibiscus.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
and hibiscus.
It's basically like a flower, I think, isn't it? It's like a really fragrant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Soak it overnight, and then you drain all the juice out, add a bit of rum, a bit of fruits, and it's like a big punch that we share around the family at Christmas.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really nice.
Really nice.
And when you were talking about the lobster, and you said you have sweet chilli, and you're saying that's not really like in Jamaican cooking. So you're not like strict about kind of, you'll bring anything in.
So what we do the authentic, but then we have the other side where it's like, you know what I mean? You can't do authentic forever.
Yeah.
So we just kind of like switch up the styles a bit, and it's making it a bit more freestyle, that twist.
Also
the twist
making it more accessible for people as well, just trying to, you know, like just make our audience a bit bigger as well, and just dipping into different cuisines and just trying new foods.
What's the future for you? Like, can I like? Are you just playing it by ear and everything? What's next? Or what's? Do you have like big plans, or have you got plans for 2020? Or what's your?
We need to have that. You know that end of 2019 meeting when you're like 2020. You know what I mean? We need to have that first. But in terms of the vision, just to create more recipes, just bring more people together with food.
More books.
Yeah, whether that's through books, through more supper clubs, restaurant, more publications. We just want to bring more people together. More ideas, making it more fresh, bringing Caribbean food to more fresher, but still helping, still having that authentic side as well to it. So, yeah.
Maybe something, maybe TV projects or something.
100% TV.
On the horizon, definitely have to do TV. That'd be great.
Why have you, Natalie, why have you put a picture of Buckfast at the top?
A tonic wine. Oh, Buckfast is a tonic wine, is it?
I don't even know what Buckfast is. But
it's tonic, I think of it as like sort of tonic, Scottish, right?
I think Buckfast is Scottish. It is Scottish because I was in Glasgow and we were drinking loads of that. Yeah, it's really, it's like basically alcoholic Ribena.
Okay.
It's like drinking Ribena and neat.
What's the volume on it?
Oh, well.
It felt like.
What is the volume on...
Can you pull the...
Natalie, can you tell us how alcoholic... 15%.
Natalie, type in Magnum tonic wine.
Magnum tonic wine.
A caffeinated fortified wine made from monks at Buckfast Abbey in Devon.
We did... I can't say, actually.
Okay.
At some point, I've basically given it away. Someone that we filmed with, basically, before we filmed with them, had stayed up all night and done so much cocaine. And they had the cleanest kitchen we've ever seen. They spent all night just cleaning the kitchen.
Oh, my God.
And it was just like, fucking hell. I'm not saying who it was, but if you watch all of the interviews, I think it's pretty obvious which one it was. Absolutely mental. Magnum.
How is that what it looks like?
Yeah.
Can you see like the packaging on it?
Yeah, they look tiny. How big are the bottles? Are they quite small?
Really small. 16.5%.
I think that's the packaging, but it's got like a man and a woman on it.
It's probably meant to give you a little stamina in the bedroom.
Yeah, man.
They're like sort of, what's that, like 6 inches tall?
Yeah.
And so you're like, are you getting like one each?
Yeah.
Right.
A couple.
Or maybe more than one each.
250
Right, okay.
Is it 250 mil?
250
mil. Oh, so it's just a little bit bigger than a mug then? Mug size?
Yeah.
Really small,
but very strong.
It's very strong.
That tastes like medicine, some will say.
But it's good for the stamina.
Yeah.
But you're also using it to cook with?
Yes.
You can do
that. And just drink.
But didn't you say that you're cooking lamb with it?
Yeah, not this one.
Not that one, that's Red Label.
It's quite similar in taste. But.
Oh, right, so this is Magnum. Mm-hmm. So you say, if you drink 16.5% Magnum.
Yeah.
That you can go for ages.
Literally.
It is also because you're too drunk to be able to put it in there. Right?
There's actually a similar drink in Jamaica. What was it called again?
Stallion.
That's it. Stallion. That's
Stallion and Magnum. Stallion. They sound like.
Talk about Jamaica. They always put names for things.
Right, brilliant, good.
Thanks, mate.
So, we can talk about food all day. Yeah, what's your favourite film?
Favourite film is Law Abiding Citizen.
Right, what's your favourite?
Scarface. Right.
Law Abiding Citizen.
Yeah, I like that.
Starring...
That's a great film.
Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I like that.
I've never met anyone whose favourite film stars Gerard Butler.
Do you know what? It just came to my head. Don't you like Gerard Butler?
I'm not saying I don't like Gerard Butler. I'm just like saying he's nobody's favourite.
Seriously?
Yeah.
But he's a good film, though.
No, he's one of my favourite actors.
I've never seen it. I can't judge it.
Gerard Butler's
great. I'm not judging it, mate. You're allowed to say Gerard Butler. You're allowed to say him. All right, we've all got a soft spot for Gerard Butler. Law Abiding Citizen. All right. I'll give it a go.
What about yours?
Okay, what's your favourite film?
Scarface. Obviously, everyone's favourite, isn't it?
It's a good one. Well, I prefer Carlito's Way to Scarface.
I prefer Carlito's Way to Scarface. Mm. But again, I'm not complaining.
I think you're just going against the.
Maybe. I'm being contrary.
This is the same guy, the same director. I know.
Same director.
Brian De Palma.
Same actor, isn't it?
Same actor. Very much
same. So. Yeah, same. It's the dream team.
Yeah.
Pacino and De Palma.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Fine. My favourite film, I don't know. It's a difficult one to answer, isn't it? You end up saying something stupid like Law Abiding Citizen.
You know what? You need to watch it.
I've never seen it. What do you think about Law Abiding Citizen?
My favourite film.
5-6 years ago. A lot longer, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
My favourite really film is either Geostorm or what's the other? Or How to Train Your Dragon 3. Gerard Butler is great in both of them, I have to say. Have you seen Geostorm?
I don't think I have.
Don't, yeah?
No, but seriously. Write it down.
I will.
It's have to.
I will. I don't worry. Yeah. Laura Biden Citizen.
Jamie Foxx is awesome, isn't it?
Okay, right. Okay, Laura Biden Citizen. Right, brilliant. Okay, it's time for the game.
And the game, this game is called Better or Worse, and you have to say whether the next person I name is better or worse than the person before, based entirely on my own opinion.
Okay.
Okay, so starting with Cameron Diaz. Is James Cameron better or worse than Cameron Diaz?
As a person,
yeah, as a person, all told,
worse,
better. I'm gonna say better. James Earl Jones, better or worse than James Cameron?
Better,
better,
better. Yeah,
better. Yeah.
Catherine Zeta Jones, better or worse than James Earl Jones?
Worse.
I'd say worse.
Lawrence Fishburne, better or worse than Catherine Zeta Jones?
Better.
Better.
Yeah.
Better.
Okay.
Laurence Olivier, better or worse than Laurence Fishburne?
Worse.
Laurence Olivier is worse?
Are you going to say better?
He's better.
Oh, what, as a film actor?
Yeah. Jason Statham, better or worse than Laurence Olivier?
Better.
I've got to say worse. No. I like
him. Jason Statham. I've enjoyed more Jason Statham.
Me too, actually. Yeah. Jason Momoa,
and also,
better or
Laurence
worse?
Laurence Olivier was horrific on the set of Rebecca. I think we'll all remember that.
carry on. Jason Momoa, better or worse than Jason Statham?
Worse. I think worse.
Worse.
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman, better or worse than Jason Momoa?
Worse.
Better.
Yeah, better.
Jason Schwartzman,
worse.
Yeah. Better than Jason Momoa. Yeah.
David Jason, better or worse than Jason Schwartzman?
Better.
Worse.
I think maybe worse.
Yeah.
Worse. David Lynch, better or worse than David Jason?
Better.
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 Better. Five.
Alright, guys, not gonna, I mean, gonna level with you. You've done the worst this season. You've done worse.
Oh my God.
You've done worse than Tom Crowley, Reese James, Marshall Julius with 9, Paul Gannon, Nick Desmelian, and Naomi McDonald with 8, Kevin Allison, Joe DeCosta, Alistair Green, Noyd Griffith, Max Halley, Harriet Kemsley, Morgan McLean, Judith Sear, The Last Skeptic, David Trent, Toby Williams with 7, and Bronte Barbie, Will Jackson, and Ginger Johnson with 6. I've got to say, though, you've done much better than last season's worst, Sam Ashurst, with minus 1,000. I think that was the last. I think he got about minus 3, I think, because he ended up killing a few people on the way out of the building, so we had to deduct some points for that. But the good news is that even though we've only got one show left this year, we have got another, like, 12 shows before the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, true.
So we started in March, so you've got loads of time to not be the worst.
Yeah.
We won't be the worst.
You won't be the worst.
Check it out.
But, I mean, you are the worst so far. So there's no prize, other than the fact that you managed to get on the show.
Amazing.
So your book is called Original Flavour, Caribbean Recipes from Home.
Yep.
And if you go on your Facebook page, you've got the recipes for the jerk turkey.
Yeah,
or Instagram.
Which I think is incredible, because literally we had like a 1-hour conversation on Sunday with my family about what everyone wanted for Christmas. No one could agree.
Yeah,
I'm just sort of like sick to death of like traditional roast dinners.
Yeah.
And then you go, right, that looked incredible. I saw it, and I was just like, that looks incredible.
Yeah, man.
Nice. You can get that at your supper club, which you can get tickets on Eventbrite if you're quick.
You can get it at the supper club, but you can make it yourself.
Make it
yourself and bring it to the supper club. That'll help us.
Take it over. Come to my supper club. You're going to have to eat before you get there, because there's a 10-hour wait for dinner. I'm going to what's this song that you want to play?
Popcorn.
Bye.
Popcorn is called Family by Popcorn.
Okay.
It's Popcorn by Family. That's how it's spelled. I wasn't doing an accent. Thanks, Kenneth.
Yo, Shaggy. Yo, Buzz. family.
Yeah, I
know
this.
I mean, say family.
Sure.
If I want thing, me hate a fern killer. Me no believe in a fern killer. Family. Family. I mean, say family. Sure. Me love me fam, all them do me heart. Me who do the earth, one of them. Real killy dead to the end, dead from me start. Me real, real better than them. God them no know when we are by tree sardine.
You've been listening to Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babe? Back from Benidorm.
Back from Benidorm. Had an amazing time.
Tell me everything.
I was surprised at how much I liked it. I will say that I was staying in quite a fancy hotel, which wasn't actually in central Benidorm. So I don't know whether or not that made a difference. It was at like sort of the town, not town next door, but like the little resort next door. But yeah, it was really, really nice. It's the first time I've ever gone away by myself. So there were definitely some weird moments. Walking into a gay bar, and hearing someone say, "Oh, he's hot." I could tell they were talking about me. And the guy turned around, his friend went, "Not for me." which was awkward. Things like that. But, and you've got no one to like, I mean, it's like a weird thing that happened. I don't know. It's like that, like stuff like that's a little bit strange, but it's funny.
How was the whole solo travel? Is it something you would do again?
100%. I would definitely do it again. Probably somewhere, this is not a slight to Benidorm, but it is a slight to Benidorm, but maybe somewhere with a bit more culture. It's not like there was a museum or something I could go to, or like some historical monument I could go visit. I did hire a bike one day. I went up into the countryside and did this big walk, which was really nice. I did a hike right to the other end on my last day. Yeah, it was really nice not having to compromise. Kind of, if I got up late, I got up late. If I woke up early, I was fine. I met lots of nice people who were very friendly. I met a group of like 60 something gays from Birmingham, who were really, really nice, and sort of took me under their wing one evening, which was like a strange but quite fun experience. So it was just nice. It was just kind of nice to just sort of, I live quite an independent life anyway, right? Like I live by myself, you know, I'm single. So I think it was kind of like the last thing for me to sort of get over that hurdle. And now I know I can do it. So I'll definitely do it again, I guess.
Any holiday romances, Stephen?
No.
I don't believe you.
I met a very nice Spanish doctor.
Doctor?
That's all I'll say.
Lovely. Oh, exciting times.
Yeah, but it was nice. And the sort of the nice thing about going by yourself is that you can just make your own decisions all the time. I think that was like my favourite thing.
And was it very much like the TV show?
Oh, there was definitely that element of it. There was like, I saw for the first time, like a tandem, what are they called? Like the little shopping things, like beep beep.
Oh, yeah, when everyone's on the scooters.
Yeah, there's like the little mobility scooter, that's it. But like for two people. So it's like, I've never seen that before, which I thought was hilarious. And there's,
did you get one for you and the Spanish doctor?
Maybe next time. you can't hire in the evening. So
I guess that's a good sign, because I probably know people are pissed up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I saw a fight, some English boys having a fight outside a bar. You know, there was definitely that sort of what you think of Benidorm. But I have to say, where I was near in the Old Town was absolutely lovely. I went out for like tapas one day. I had tapas, two glasses of wine for lunch, came to €11.
Happy days.
You just can't be. I mean, I was just like, we're being taken for an absolute ride here in London, like in the UK.
I've got to say, that's like a coffee and a croissant in a coffee shop in London, isn't it?
Yeah.
A meal deal, not even.
not even these days. So yeah, I mean,
did you go to the I don't think it's Sticky Vicky anymore. I don't know if she passed it down to the daughter, but did you go and see anyone popping ping balls out?
I didn't, much to a couple of people recommended that I go and try. There's a place called Chaplin's Bar, which was actually where I saw the fight out of from. So I was like on my way to go there to basically experience this like Benidorm institution. I don't know, it's probably say like 10 p.m. or something. And as I was walking towards it, this huge fight broke out. And I was like, do you know what? No, do you know what? I'm not going to go. I'm just not going to go.
Where is that?
Yeah. So instead, where did I go after? I can't even remember. Yeah, but yeah, so I didn't do any of the sort of old traditional things. I did see a drag show, which is very like old school British drag. Little bit
drag race, oh, but we never
definitely
drag.
Four
like, quid wig,
yeah, four quid wig. Like, can I see the manager hair? Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of, like really, really like bold makeup choices. Yeah, so that was really fun. Yeah, I mean, everywhere I went, okay? Say again.
Did you do any karaoke?
No, I did hear some karaoke in a bar. I heard a woman murdering the Spice Girls one day, but I wasn't going to get up with no friends and that to go back to. That would have just been a bit too much.
That's a step too far, I
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the whole, I would definitely recommend it. I've actually already started Googling, like, where's good to go in Europe in March or something like that, just so I can sort of, like, it would be nice to make a plan to do something else. Having said that, I'm literally going to Toronto in 4 weeks, so I'm not being like deprived of holidays at the moment.
He's making up for lost time.
I really am. So it was only 18 months because I went on holiday December 2019, and then for like July 2021, just as things started to open again, I went to Malta. So to be fair, it was only 18 months in the end that I wasn't sort of traveling for. So I wasn't really that hard done by, but this year I've definitely made up for it. So
Toronto will be amazing. Was it you telling me that you said there's some amazing strip bars over there, some gay strip bars?
Mm. It's actually Montreal. It's Montreal, I think, yeah.
One of our guests, I think, a few months ago was saying about it, wouldn't I?
Yeah, was it someone from Canada's Drag Race, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
And you was writing it right down. I mean,
yeah. get my pen out. Let me just take some notes. I mean that's a bit more of a different style of press trip because this makes me sound very privileged, which I am. I'm very lucky with my job. They basically write a whole itinerary for you. So you and a group of other journalists have a very sort of tight schedule of places that you can go. Or that you are going, you're bussed from, taken by car from place to place. And that's great because, you know, you get to experience like proper five-star luxury and you don't pay for any of it.
So what's the end of the press trip?
It's just by the Toronto Tourist Board.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah. And this one I just went on was with booking.com. So like there's various ways that journalists can go and enjoy a trip abroad, I guess. I'm just lucky that two came along at once, I suppose. Have you ever done it? Have you ever gone abroad alone?
Do you know, never have, but like you, obviously, I live alone, single, so I'm very comfortable in my own company. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I actually really like my own company.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's lovely when you see friends and family. Of course it is. But yeah, some people say they hate their own company. I actually really like it.
Mm.
But I've never done a trip on my own. For work things, I've flown. Is that the way?
I've flown.
Flown, that's the one. I knew it didn't sound right when I heard it back in my head. But I've done that side on my own and gone away for work. And I don't mind the whole airport experience or being on a plane on my own. And like you say, I guess the perks are, because I think sometimes the bigger the group when you're away, you do have to start thinking.
Compromising.
Like, it's a compromise. Where are we going for dinner? So it kind of becomes a massive group decision, doesn't it? And everyone wants to all chip in. But I guess it's kind of nice that you can wake up when you want, go lay around the pool or go where you want to. Did you do a bit of reading? You was going to read a couple of books.
Yeah, I had a book on the history of Eurovision, which I read a bit of. Very, very bit of me, that. But yeah, you're right. And I think actually sometimes when you go on these holidays, you can end up with one person making a lot of decisions because they tend to just be more decisive. But that can like breed resentment, do you know what I mean? And sort of people can get a bit like, ugh, getting told what to do all the time. So yeah, for me, I think it's not like I'm never going to go on holiday with my friends and family again. I will, of course. But it's just a completely different kind of experience, I think, that you get going by yourself.
And I guess the first time's always going to be the one you've got to get used to it.
Yeah. 100%.
Whereas now you probably wouldn't think twice about doing it.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, honestly, I'd go again tomorrow if I could.
And I think the thing is as well, like I think we've spoke before about it. When you're kind of average, like when you hit your 30s, and a lot of our friends are married or in long-term relationships or they have children, scheduling a group of friends to all be free for the same time to go on holiday becomes harder when you're a single person. You
it's
know,
not even it's not even holidays, it's just it could just be like a night out or
even arranging going for a prezzos can become hard work.
Totally.
Oh, I'm glad you had a lovely time, babes.
Thanks, Bob, appreciate it. It was good. What's been going on here? Have you been okay?
Yeah, all good my end, thank you. But what have I been up to? I had that lovely Jog on to Cancer event.
How was that with James Ingham?
Yeah, it's so nice. It's done such an amazing job over like the last 10 years. I've always gone and it's always such a lovely evening and obviously such an amazing cause. But obviously with everything that's gone on the last couple of years, it hasn't been on. But really nice. I think, and it was the last one, so kind of nice to all get together again. Because a lot of us go every year, you know, so you kind it's a really nice thing to kind of, and it's one of them evenings that it's, everyone's so aware what an incredible a night and event is and the most amazing charity. I mean, like, because let's face it, who hasn't been affected one way or another by cancer, you know, whether it's someone you know or the knock-on effect thing. I think like the odds are it's like 1 in 2 now, isn't it? So everyone knows someone, unfortunately. So the more money raised and the more that the word spread about it, the better. That was a lovely evening. And weather's turned now. I mean, he says sat in a vest. I had to sit on the gym. It's just a nightmare at the minute that every single road seems to be dug up.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. So there's a load of roadworks and then there's been a flood. I don't know if one of the sewages has popped or something. There's still a hose pipe there, but I mean, I've seen like basically the Thames coming down the road. I'm sure that's going to be a nightmare, but hey ho, what can you do?
This is autumn in the UK. This is how we roll now, isn't it? So yeah, I mean, getting on the plane in Alicante, like, oh, it's quite hot. And then I was like, I'll just put my bag, like my coat at the top of my bag so that I can easily get it, thinking it'll probably be right. I got literally off the plane in Stansted and I was like, oh, Christ, it's absolutely freezing. Gosh,
it always itchy when you get off that plane, doesn't it?
Yeah. Definitely feel the return of winter now. But that's all right. We had a long summer, long and hot summer, didn't we? So
we certainly did. We had a good run, didn't it? A few days in them 42s.
Oh, never again. I don't want that again.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, I remember the weeks we sat here fanning ourselves and I was running around B&Q. I think I got the last smashed up fan in Essex. seems like a distant memory now.
It does, doesn't it? How quickly we move on. someone I read online, someone said that the weather changed so far. No, the weather ran away so quickly that it... I've forgotten the saying now. Doesn't matter. Anyway, moving on. we've got an exciting show today. We've got TOWIE star Danny Imbert up first and Katie Alex, the new Real Housewives of Cheshire star. Let's talk about some slightly unusual things, I believe. but we'll get to that a bit later. What showbiz news has piqued your eye this week?
What's tickled my fancy this
that's,
week?
That's a better term. I think I'm losing my mind. Sorry. It's probably that's been the first day I haven't had an alcoholic drink in about 5 days. So.
It's getting withdrawal symptoms after Benadryl, though. I bet it just took that long to get over the Spanish measures.
To be fair.
Do you know what? I've realised we haven't spoke about it for a couple of weeks and we always heavily talk about it. Strictly.
Yes.
And we had our first celebrity eliminated this weekend, the lovely Kay Adams from Lucy.
Oh, yeah. I actually did watch it from my hotel room. Yeah, which is a bit.
What did you think of it? Because we haven't discussed the lineup or anything really this series, have we?
No, I mean it's there's a few really good sort of stand-up ones and people I didn't even know. So this guy, Hamza Yassin, he's a nature photographer and also like a CBBC presenter. And he, I felt quite emotional watching his, he did a jive, but in his like pre-speech, he was talking about how he's quite a big guy. And he was like, how he thought he'd be too big to do the jive, but he was absolutely brilliant at it. So like, you know, things like that, I feel like that's what Strictly is really good at, sort of tugging on the heartstrings. And also you get to know people you would never see or hear of otherwise. I guess it's not in my like remit. I mean, she definitely, I think she would say this too, she wasn't particularly good, but she wasn't like disastrous. So I guess it's a bit, it must be a real shame for her. I imagine how it must feel so weird to be the first person to go out, because even if, I mean, you will still have done weeks of training and all the preparation work, and you will have known about it for months, and then it just all kind of falls apart the last minute. I don't know. Well, not the last minute, the first minute. I don't know. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think that's the thing, because it's easy for viewers to not take into consideration how long the celeb would have been preparing for it. So from that initial phone call with their agent to them planning it and then finding out and rehearsing. So all that pre-show stuff before the Saturday night even show one even airs, all that goes into it. And I think Strictly is one of the shows that it really is, you put a lot of hours. I think, obviously, depending on the celeb schedule, but I know some celebrities that do that. They literally train for 8 or 9 hours a day with their partners. So it's a huge amount, which it's literally like full on. So, I mean, it's always sad when anyone goes. And I mean, it's always that thing, you think, God, I wouldn't want to be the first to go. I think that's just human nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like being the last picked for a football team or something in PE.
I know that's
fading quite well. funnily enough, I was never first to be a midfielder. Where's that even come from, a midfielder? I don't know what a midfielder does. I guess he runs around the middle of the field. we're going to go with that. Welcome to your FUBAR sports show. I applaud anyone that does that show. I think it takes real courage, and I think I've seen Kate at a few events and know her briefly just through either being on the show or seeing her, and a lovely, lovely woman, and I think she'd be the first to admit that she was very much out of her comfort zone. And I think that's the thing, some people, when you are completely out of your comfort zone, and that's a different world of celebrity to you, I think it takes some real guts to get up there on a Saturday in front. I don't know what Strictly gets. It must get, what, 8-9 million?
Something like that, yeah.
To know they're watching you every Saturday dancing around for that 90 seconds, which I bet feels like an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
I take my off and applaud every single person that does it. But I'm excited to see how, I mean, obviously it's still early days, and sometimes I know we try and call it. But yeah, I'm intrigued to see how this series goes. I'm loving seeing Will Mellor again, I have to admit. Teenage Bobby definitely had a crush on Will.
I mean, teenage Bobby and 36-year-old Steve, honestly, I'm like, which is, he's not really my type, but it's just something that, I don't know, just...
Yeah.
Gets me going.
he's aging very nicely.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
And Matt Goss.
Yeah, he was also in the bottom two, though, wasn't he?
He was in the bottom two, so yeah, it was between him and Kay.
I guess he wasn't, for considering he was in a pop band and has performed, you know, in Vegas for years, I wasn't particularly blown away with him. So yeah, that was probably a bit of a disappointment.
And I wonder if it's very much thinking of the nature of people who probably vote for Strictly. When it comes to, I'm just trying to think if I can probably see why Will, not Will, I've got Will on the mind here, Matt was probably, I guess he's kind of the housewife's kind of, rightly or wrongly, I guess I can kind of see why people would try and save, do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, he would, you think more people would vote for him?
Yeah, well, I think probably it comes down to, regardless of how people even do in the dance-off, I think if people want to pick up the phone and vote for you, I think sometimes skill goes out the window. I think if people want to see you dance another week, yeah, they're going to pick up the phone. Well, as we've seen, we've seen many a politician be, and Widdecombe, we've seen dragged around that floor like a mop.
And she was shot out of a cannon, wasn't she, as well? Yeah.
And who was the politician? Was he a politician? Some guy was on there week after week after week, and bless him, I mean,
he was John. I feel like his name was John Sargent, and he's like a BBC political journalist. But he pulled out, if I remember rightly.
He had to bow out in the end.
He was like, this is too embarrassing.
Because the way it was going, I think he was going to win it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think even he was probably a bit like, yeah, maybe this isn't fair on everyone else. But imagine, though, being your whole life as a political journalist, you decide to go and do like one sort of frivolous sort of Saturday night show, like supposed to be a bit of fun, and suddenly you have to hold a press conference where you're like speaking to showbiz journalists about why you have to pull out of the show because you're not very good, but people keep voting for you. It just must be so bizarre. I can't imagine like what that must feel like for someone who's super professional like that. I don't know.
And completely in another world to what he's used to.
Yeah.
I always love the ones that you, because I guess we just assume you see certain people, I think, especially if someone's from a musical background. I mean, I know I personally sometimes think, I just equate that if someone's a singer or a performer, I think if you can sing, you can dance, which I know don't go hand in hand. And
yeah,
there's a massive difference when we've seen girls from girl bands do it before. There's a big difference between dancing to a song and doing ballroom.
Yeah, right.
Things, even if you do dance, it's a very different kettle of fish. But I just always equate singers and performers that would be able to dance, but that they are very, very different worlds. But I do kind of always like the outsider that surprises us, mm-hmm, which sometimes you see with sports people. But I think that's because sports people are very competitive because they have to, the nature of their job.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think Will Mellor's kind of been one of those people that I was a bit surprised by. I thought it'd be a bit like of a Jack the Lad sort of, I don't know, like taking the piss, I guess, in a way. But actually, he's like deadly serious and really good. So, I mean, like,
I'm very happy for him to stay week after week after week.
What else? There was interesting. It's one of those sort of things that seems to happen more and more these days. They've revealed that Velma in Scooby-Doo is going to be a gay character for the first time. She's going to have like a partner.
Mm. What
do you make of that?
Well, I thought she was gay.
That's exactly the same. Maybe we just got the gaydar vibe. Like
I don't know if just us as gay men have that kind of gaydar.
There was something about the way she dressed. I know she's a cartoon, but
and that's funny how as gay men, even a cartoon, something doesn't even exist, we knew their sexuality. Yes, yeah, so I was kind of thought it was a foregone conclusion anyway.
I guess it's just that they're talking about it now rather than just sort of brushing under the table.
And I guess it's kind of moving forward. I think it can only be a good thing in terms of just diversity. Because I always think back to, and I've said this before, like especially with like Disney things, right, being our kind of age, you never grew up and saw two princes on a, I still don't think we have, on a Disney film. Mm-hmm. Hence why I wanted to be Ariel, because I loved Eric. So I wanted to become a mermaid and be Ariel, and was willing to give my voice to Ursula.
I, do you know what? I think Ursula might have given your voice back to you, actually. Yeah. If she heard you on Celebrity Karaoke Club.
This is true. She wouldn't have wanted to put that in a shell round her neck. She would have said, Bob, have it. I might have had more chance with Eric if I didn't have the voice, though, to be fair. I think, as cartoons, they're something that we watch from a young age. And I don't believe any child is born homophobic, racist, or with any hate. I just don't believe you can be born with that. So I think really, as we become more diverse and as time goes on, I think it's only a good thing from a young age for people to just be accepting and it not be a conversation. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I think I've talked about it on the show before as well. You know, my nephew's just now getting to the age where they're starting to ask questions. And my sister's always been like very open with them. Uncle Steve's gay, blah, blah, blah. But they just didn't quite get it. And I said, because they'd still ask my sister,